encourage you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So I have a little pop quiz. Who remembers what we talked about last week based on those six verses? Thank you. Seriously. What did we talk about?
Trust God.
Trust God? Unity. What else? How about humility? I'll give you a hint. Some of it's in verse 2 and 3. What comes after humility? Gentleness? And patience? Bearing one another in love. And bearing means to put up. So I'm going to put that down. So Paul in these six verses is talking about, well, actually he's begging and he's encouraging us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Now, I simplified that calling. Does anyone remember what that calling was? Correct. Find your joy in making, I'm running out of room here, we'll put GG, making God glad. Then we talked about some of the things that does make God glad. I don't know where to cap. Oh, there it is. One is humility, gentleness, patience, putting up with one another in love. And then we looked at the rest of those six verses and came to the conclusion that Paul's theme throughout those six verses is unity. So with that in mind, I'm going to continue with verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But I pause because when you use the word but, you use it for a particular reason. And the reason that we use the word but in a sentence is to bring contrast. So if Paul was talking about unity in the first six verses, now he's going to contrast it to something else. Ouch. So now I will continue reading for real from verse 7 to 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith. There's that word again, unity. And in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature man or mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Verse 7 talks about how Christ gave gifts to his people when he ascended. Then, verse 11 mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then if you look at verse 16, it talks about the body and how each and every individual member of the body is important. So with those things in mind, what's Paul's theme in those verses? What's Paul's theme in verses 7 to 16? Spiritual gifts. Paul's theme in these verses are the spiritual gifts that Christ has given us. Now, if he's been talking about unity in the first six verses, then the contrast that he is trying to make has to do with those spiritual gifts. Each spiritual gift is different from each other. Some of them overlap a bit, but they all are different. And a word that also means different in some way or form is diversity. I may have spelt that wrong, so don't worry about that. He talks about unity in the first six verses. Now he's switched over to diversity. I would just like to draw a diagram of the church here. This is how I believe that Christ has designed the church. And don't worry, I know that the church is not the building. It's just an illustration. So, there's the church. We have in the church, shepherds, and the flock. Oops. Christ is the head of the church, his body. Turn to chapter 4, verse 16. From him, that is Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul is showing us that we all have a part to play. Everyone is a member of the body of Christ, and we all have some important role to play in it. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 12. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. Another, a message of knowledge. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit. And he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in someone that has placed their faith in Christ, he gives them spiritual gifts. He gives them at least one spiritual gift. And this spiritual gift or spiritual gifts is the way that the Holy Spirit, the way that God wants to manifest himself through you to everyone around you. Turn with me to Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It is vital that we as believers know our spiritual gifts. See, Christ, if you look at this diagram I drew, he's given some people gifts of shepherding or leadership. I'm going to group them all into one like that, so that they may lead the rest of the people that don't have those gifts, so that they won't be led astray, so that we will know what is a good doctrine and a bad doctrine, so that we will know our spiritual gifts as well. And then the rest of the flock has gifts like helps or giving or mercy or encouragement. And these other gifts are needed in the areas of life where you need to get down and dirty and get involved in people's lives physically. Whether someone's sitting on the side of the road and needs their car repaired. Or maybe someone needs help with their house, or maybe someone's lost a loved one and needs encouragement. Maybe someone's going through a real struggle in something in their life and they need to be shown mercy. We each have a part to play in the body of Christ. People complain all the time about the church. The truth is, in order to make the church better than it is, we have no further to look than ourselves. Look again with me at verse 16 in Ephesians 4. From him, that is Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. The body of Christ cannot grow and be built up without us finding and being willing to use the spiritual gift that God's given us. If we refuse to find out what spiritual gifts God's given us and be available to let God use us in those ways, we will be accountable to God for that. Because that particularly, when we refuse to let God use our gifts that he's given us, hinders the church and hinders his work on earth. It hinders the spread of his kingdom. And thus, that is why the church has struggled over the years. So I urge you to seek the Lord's face and discover the gifts he's given you. And maybe some of you know the gifts that he's given you and you are serving in those gifts. And I just want to say thank you. And continue to pray for the rest of the church. And continue to seek the Lord and how he wants you to keep on serving. How do you find out your spiritual gifts? Well, since God gave the spiritual gifts to us, I guess the first step would be to actually seek his face, to pray and to ask him to reveal that to you. Another way that you can do it is as simple as doing a spiritual gifts test, which I have taken the liberty of printing some out, and they are on the soundboard back there. I encourage anyone that has felt convicted in any way to find out their spiritual gifts to take one of those tests, to do it. And then another way to find out what your spiritual gifts are is to talk to the people that you know around you. Because lots of times, we don't see the things that other people see in us. So I encourage you, seek the gifts that God's given you and use those gifts. Make yourself available to Christ so that his kingdom can be furthered on earth, so that people can come to know Christ. Let's find our joy in making God glad by doing this, by following his leading. This is how he has designed the church to work. There's unity in diversity when diversity is done properly. And we can find this in God himself. The Son receives the Father, and the Holy Spirit receives both the Son and the Father, and they work together in perfect unity. They all have their different roles, and this is God, one God, three persons. Within God himself is how things are supposed to work amongst us as well. He has designed the church in the same way. He has designed us to work together in unity. And the reason that he gives one the gift of helps and doesn't give that same person the gift of evangelism is because we're supposed to work together. This isn't a one-man show. In the church today, in general, there is a select, well, not select, but there is your core group of people that spend their time at the church, that give to the church, and then there are the rest of the people that just come every Sunday and don't really get involved. But this is not how we learned Christ. This is not how he designed the body to work. And the body will continue to suffer if this is how we continue. So offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your acceptable service of worship. That's all I have for today. I was going to go through a little bit more detail, but God just seemed to say to me, no, just keep it short, keep it simple, and keep it to the point. We will continue going through Ephesians 4 next week.